Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I was kind of surprised to see how few times that's happened in the postseason. So I think it's pretty cool. And I've been saying since I got here, the vision has always been let's have home playoff games at Soldier. And I'm proud of our guys being able to bring that vision to life this year. And hopefully we can come out and make our fans proud here this weekend.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and that was Ben Johnson talking about the third meeting between the Bears and Packers this season, which is a rarity that it happens in the playoffs, as you just heard Ben Johnson say. And we wanted to do a segment here called Keys to the Game.
Whoa.
Yeah, you've never heard of it. No other show ever does it.
That is good.
Yeah, we've never had keys to the game before ever. This is the first time anybody's ever thought of it. But it really is the case where I feel like we all have different keys and what we want to see. So for me, it is be more successful running the football early and therefore use those run plays to drive down the field and score a touchdown. Not, you don't have to do it in your first drive. Maybe the first two.
So score on one of the first two drives of the game?
And run the ball more.
Run the ball more.
Yeah, I think if we see a first quarter score out of the Bears, that would indicate a positive result for the team.
Something's going right as opposed to anxiously waiting for three quarters as I did in the cold south end zone a few weeks ago.
But I need to be picky about it, and I needed to run the football to do it, so establish that run game first.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why that's like a key for you, because when they were playing their best football this season, and I think people need to understand, the Eagles game was a long time ago, relatively speaking, but we all keep going back to that game. If they just play like they did against the Eagles, it's not like they just kept doing that every week since they played the Eagles. So I completely understand why that's your key to the game. That makes a lot of sense. Grody, what do you think about just that idea that the first couple of drives, you got to have something and you got to show you're running the ball successfully?
Here's what I've been thinking. I was thinking about this when I was driving in today, and that is, yes, of course, you want to, and I said this on the podcast last night too, take the North, that the first team to establish the run game and really get the run game going might win the game. Here, I'm going to get really specific, though.
Okay.
Because of the Bears' troubles early in games on third, on just getting it going, how about Caleb Williams? And this is not like what you want ultimately Caleb to be coached to do. How about really tell Caleb, when you see that opening downfield and you got room to run, you go ahead and run the football. You go when it's third and six, like you see that, like this is the playoffs now, man. You can just kind of abandon, you do what you have to do. Guys, I'd like to see Caleb Williams run the ball more in this game, feeling able to do it, do what you got to do, take advantage of that, even if that's not part of your plan for Caleb Williams in the future. Caleb, go ahead and run it.
Can I ask something here? Number one, I think it's okay to repeat what you said on the Take the North podcast because they're different audiences.
Fair enough.
Number two, I feel like the Bears have been trying to prevent that from happening for whatever reason.
Caleb running it?
Yes.
And which is understandable.
In fact, Chris Sims talked about it yesterday.
Oh?
Because he was talking about the deliberate pocket presence that seems to have been having been established in the last several weeks. And probably you can go back definitively to that first Packers game and kind of see that taking place. What were your takeaways from that, Marshall, when you heard Chris Sims talk about that? Because I feel like that is something we've seen have success. There's no doubt about it. But I think for whatever reason, this may be the teaching level of the offense here coming into play. That seems to not be an option as much for this team right now.
But I think there was a method to that madness, because I think what you just said about teaching is part of it, because Ben Johnson trying to get Caleb to do what? Master things pre-snap, right? And we see how far he's come from training camp. I know you remember training camp and how bad it looked, the offense.
Yes,
because
sir.
A lot of it was Caleb Williams not having command of things, whether it was his cadence, whether it was his pre-snap approach, officially getting his team to the line of scrimmage to be able to break things down. I'll say this. He wants him to play in structure. He wants him to be timing-based, because good offenses, guess what? They're timing-based. You look at Jared Goff last year, even this year, just Jared Goff under Ben Johnson, post-Ben Johnson's introduction of his offense into his life. He's been so much better, so much more snappy, if you will. For Caleb Williams, the first key to this was, hey, can you come to meet me where I am? That was what he was talking about, in my opinion. And he's done it well. And that has been, okay, now we're going to bootleg you a little bit. We'll get you out in running situations where you can make decisions. But still, the main thing is play within the structure. I think once the playoffs get here, all bets are off.
That's it.
You have to use your legs. I guarantee you, when the Bills, right, and Josh Allen are in do or die, as they will be from here on forward, he's going to be taking off a lot.
Amen.
Here's a stat I want to give you, which kind of speaks to what both of you are talking about right now. Jalen Hurts is 37-9 in his career when he runs the ball 9 times or more. 4-1 in the playoffs, with the only loss being Super Bowl 57. There's only one playoff game in Hurts' career where he didn't have at least 6 carries, and that was their 2023 blowout loss at Tampa Bay. I don't know if you remember that game. So what I'm saying is, you have to make sure all of your quarterback's weapons are available to him in a do-or-die situation, in a win-or-go-home situation. So I do expect Caleb to take off when the opportunity presents itself.
We all want him to be a pocket quarterback. Caleb wants to be a pocket quarterback. But he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, and it is and that will continue. The process of developing Caleb Williams will continue, and he's going to get better and all of that stuff. But for this game, you see that opening where you can run 25 to 30 yards. Take it.
The other part of it, too, is with Micah Parsons out, Rashawn Gary doesn't free up as easily. For example, I just mentioned the stat with Adam Hoge where Gary hadn't had a sack since week 9. So when you consider that piece of it, can you do more of what you've done previously against other teams where you can use the extra tight ends to block more? Can you have downfield blocking then free up lanes for Caleb Williams if he needs to run?
Yes.
The better question may be, what does Jeff Heffley want to do? Does he want to give Caleb the 10-yard running lane if it means not giving up the big pass play like we saw, for example, to DJ Moore? You know, that becomes, I think, a question of what the defensive coordinator on the other side wants to give up or what he wants to allow versus what he thinks the team might do. And frankly, once again, the symmetry reigns because Dennis Allen has the same choices he has to make on the defensive side. If you blitz, you know that Jordan Love will check it down pretty quickly. You know that he's been able to pick it up and he's been able to pick up underneath. And unfortunately, they blitzed to a fault in the last 2 games. So how are you going to use that to your advantage? Are you going to just decide that maybe you're going to have to go with 4 down linemen? Are you going to have to use different looks? Does Kyler Gordon come in a way that is authentic to what we know him to be? Ho gave a very uplifting note from practice saying that he looks more like himself than any of the other guys who are back. So once again, what is each defensive coordinator going to have to give up and allow in order to make these results happen?
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Can we agree on something? Jeff Heffley has gotten the better of Ben Johnson in these 2 games.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. He has not looked like the Ben Johnson we've seen on so many other occasions as the Bears' offense has become the identity of this team, to be honest. So knowing that, I'm just so curious to see what adjustments Ben Johnson's making on his end to be like, you might have fooled me twice, but you're not going to get me a third time. And that brings me really to my key of the game, which is more about the Bears defense and Dennis Allen. B+2 in turnovers. You want to win the game, B+2 in turnover differential.
Which is a pretty good bet for the Bears, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's not a good bet because they've gotten the bulk of their turnovers against bad teams, teams who are not currently in the playoffs. So you've got four here, three there against different, but it's not like outside of that Eagles game where they got the plus two, they also turned it over once, but they were plus on the road in Philadelphia. That's a big reason why they won that game. We all remember the strip on the tush push by Nashawn Wright. I think in this game, I'm not saying they can't win without the plus two, but they definitely can't win if they are at a negative in turnover differential. And the plus two makes me feel a lot better about their chances.
Let me give you a disturbing stat for both of you guys in terms of the Bears, hoping that the Bears have a fast start, which is essential. I don't think anybody could deal with like one more time of the Bears depending on magic at the end. The Packers defense has allowed two first quarter touchdowns all season long. So
for a career?
Yes. So they
that's not enough. Touchdowns they've allowed.
That's not enough.
So what you're saying is they're due to give up another one.
And the Bears are always due for a touchdown on their first drive. They're always due for a touchdown.
Remember the beginning of the season?
Hey, wait till we have Fishbane on. He usually keeps track of all that stuff. Like he's got a running. I think he had it. Like the last time the Bears had a touchdown on their first drive is like it's weeks ago.
Weeks
at least. Yeah. Fishy Business will clear that up for us later.
Fishy Business joins us at 12:25. I like our keys to the game segment. I feel like we all have different keys, so that's robust.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing. But yeah, for me it's definitely run the ball more. And yes, if they could score a touchdown in one of their first two drives, which you're telling me is virtually statistically impossible against the Packers.
It cannot happen and
it's
will
possible,
not happen.
It's possible, it's just not likely.
Hey, that's why I say Caleb run the ball.
Except
do something
virtually,
different. I want Caleb running on that first series if he has to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're getting weird over here.
No.
So? Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash.
You know why he's right, though? Because that first third and four or less,
yeah.
If I see Caleb either dirt it or
overthrow
someone when there was clearly a lane where he could have picked up the 4 yards, I'm going to be like, see, this is why they're not winning the game.
Can I also just... I'm going to request this, but I know it's probably not happening.
Go ahead.
There was a wide receiver screen to DJ Moore last week. That was his only reception in the game, and he was targeted 3 times. Number one, target DJ Moore often. Number two, mix in a screen pass to a running back. Am I crazy?
Hold up. Are you saying target DJ Moore often or target DJ Moore often?
Both.
They're the same.
Yes.
Aren't they both the
same?
No,
because one is like saying more than you have been. The other one's just saying target that guy a lot.
Yes, both, actually.
Okay.
Both work here.
What Layla said.
Yeah.
But also mix in a running back screen pass.
Swifty can handle that.
Do you have a preferred running back target for said screen pass?
DeAndre Swift.
Yeah,
because he's just so good outside.
Swifty shifty on the outside. But one guy just looking to run into somebody.
Now, here's the other part
really
of this.
He really is, man.
Here's the other part of this, though, is sadly, I think that means the Packers will also be looking for it, and I get that. But they haven't been able to establish their screen game, I think, the way they've wanted. There would be no better time to unveil that as another part of the offense than now.
Right, and the Bears have historically been burned badly by the Packers screen game, the game which they basically invented back in the Lombardi days. But another key, two guys in both of these games, Green Bay was phenomenal on third down. Just, I mean, even in the first game where the Packers win it 28-21, 8-for-12 on third down. I think there were 6-of-12, and the Bears were pretty good on third down too, at least in one of the games. So even defensively, like they've been really good on third down. So third down in time of possession needs to tighten up for the Bears specifically against Green Bay.
I can't remember who said it, but I think it was somewhere on the station. Someone informed me that on third and seven or more, Jordan Love has a passer rating of 110.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Right, and we saw that in San Francisco too. Like San Francisco was lights out. I think they're second in the league right now. I'd have to see if that's still refreshed, but I believe last time I checked, they were second in the league on third down, and we saw it. San Francisco was even. I think they're number one. I think
side key to the game, not our game, but another game.
Side key. Give it.
Knowing how successful the Bears were running the ball against Philly, you think Christian McCaffrey eats tomorrow or Are they tomorrow? They're Sunday, I think.
No, they're Sunday, but the answer is no. I don't think he's gonna get used a lot, so his usage will be high. He'll probably get 100 plus total yards. But
you don't think he's getting 120 at the half?
I don't think he's getting 120 at the half. That Eagles team is well rested. They know what this is.
Fair enough.
The defense is the strength of the team.
Angry Birds.
They are
I thought about that though.
No, you're right. You're right to think about
it. Another game, but I thought about it.
I think it'll be kind of what we saw when we saw them take on the Seattle Seahawks in that finale. Something along those lines.
Sure, that Seahawks defense looks so good.
Looking at other games, how dare you?
I do too. I've got to watch a lot of other games. I watched the Miami game last night.
As you should have.
Who went down, Marshall?
The University of Mississippi, a.k.a. the school up north.
I thought it was Ole Miss. Isn't that what they call them, Ole Miss?
Marshall has a different take on this.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to this institution. It's a state school. You might be familiar with state schools.
I am, very much. I love it. I got a lot of Redbird pride.
Mississippi State University. Mm-hmm. So we refer to the school that got beat by Miami as the school up north, because on a map...
Marquette, Wisconsin. You know.
Wow. So does it hurt you when I refer to people as "ol" all the time? When I say that, does that trigger you?
No. Yours is not built on
Ole Miss. It's not Ole Miss. I've never referenced Ole. I hate Ole Miss.
Is there a large?
It looks like Ole Miss, to be honest.
Is Ole Miss? No, I don't really. But for your sake, I hate them.
Do you remember?
I support you, Marshall.
The old mascot for the University of Mississippi.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wait. Tell me. Say more.
You don't remember the mascot?
I don't know if I do or not. I just had a birthday today. I'm getting old, man. I can't remember
stuff.
That's
why I thought you would know.
Rebels.
It's an older
KFC-looking
gentleman.
Not something that is friendly with society.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, that's a great way to put it.
Yes.
That's a great way to put it.
Yes.
All you need to know is when I went to school,
okay,
and I would go and covered Eli Manning in college. They would have the rebel flags
in mass
in the stands.
They don't do any of that stuff anymore.
No, they've phased that out.
They finally caught up with the rest of
now
the world.
Now they've codified these things into law now.
Oh, good.
That's a fair way to put it.
Good. Sadly. So enough of this buzzkill mess. There's an issue today on our crew. There's an issue. So like, if I wear anything remotely close to green within like 3 weeks of the Packers game, Layla, you cheer for the Packers. You're not from here. What is this color are you wearing? Nah.
Is that what they sound like?
Yes.
That's really, I love it.
So love it. Next thing I know, not one but two of our crew members are wearing green today. We're going to get into this and a story that ensued next.